All right, we'll go ahead and say a word of prayer, and then we'll jump in this lesson for this training school. Amen. Let's pray. Father Yah, we just honor you and bless you, and we acknowledge you as being our God, the one true God, and we are just kind of privileged to be your children and to be able to serve you. We thank you for your son and bless you for your spirit that leads and guides us in all truth. And we're looking forward to your kingdom to fully come so that all things can be wrought through godliness. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. All right. Today I was thinking about some things and I started to seek Yah for understanding. And there were scriptures that came to mind. One in particular I'm going to use as a reference to what was going on in my mind on today, and so I asked y'all for understanding, and I just questioned some things, and y'all gave me an understanding, and when I tell you that that we can always learn from the scriptures, no matter how many times we've looked over those scriptures. Man, I'm telling you as a witness that it's very true. And the more we understand, the more Yah will give us further understandings. And so I want to start out in 2 Chronicles 7. We're going to specifically look at the familiar verse in 2 Chronicles, verse 14. And verse 14, 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Well, all these years I've looked at this passage as something that we as a nation had to do, had to do in order for our land to be healed. And then also I would reference it as far as Yah dealing with us as a people and part of the process by which we will be gathered, that it takes us as a nation humbling ourselves and praying and seeking Yah's face and turning from our wicked ways. Well, that's true to a certain extent. And so I started to question Yah about this, because I was like, okay, we as a church, we have awakened. We are your people, and we know that we are called by your name. We've humbled ourselves, because as soon as we came into understanding that we were the nation of Israel, we humbled ourselves and we prayed. And from always seeking Yah's face, as the righteous, as the saints. We also sought Yah's face as the chosen people of Yah. And we turned and we admitted our sins. We confessed the sins of our fathers, and we confessed our sins, and we repented as a church representing the people of Yah. And as the verse goes on, it says, verse 14, he says, "Then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." So I was burdened with verse 14 on today, and I was like, "Yah, when we look at this verse here, we know without a shadow of a doubt that that not all Israel has repented. Okay. Not all Israel even know that they are Israel. And obviously, because we're stiff-necked people, man, and then, you know, going through the books of Numbers and Deuteronomy, I mean, it's just mind-blowing the type of stiff-necked people that we were and still are to this day. I mean, it's, man, we some kind of folks, y'all. And so I was like, "Yeah, you know, here we are. We know that, you know, not all Israel know who, you know, we are. Not all Israel have repented. Not all Israel have humbled themselves and prayed and sought the face of Yah and turned from their wicked ways." And so I'm like, so what does this mean for us who have? And how do we, you know, how do we approach verse 14 in order to be in harmony with you? You know, not from the traditional ways that. Traditional way that we looked at these scriptures and say, okay, when we as the people do this, then, you know, all these things are going to take place in verse 14. And so the scripture that I question Yah with in reference to what was going on with, you know, in my mind, then I started to look at, you know, just different scriptures in reference to things that has happened to us throughout history. And so we'll go to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, and we'll look at some things in reference to Genesis chapter 18, and then we'll come back to 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. Okay, so Genesis 18, and we'll start at verse 16. We know that this is the story in reference to Sodom and Gomorrah. And we pick up at verse 16 because it is the part where I had in question in reference to the people of Yah. I was like, okay, Yah, you know, since we as a church has repented and we're making our best effort to serve you, turn from our wicked ways, to seek your face, all the things in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, I was like, okay, when I consider Genesis 18, this is the reason why I'm struggling on today. And so we'll start at verse 16, and then you'll see my struggle. I pointed out as I'm dealing with these verses. So Genesis 18, verse 16, said, "The men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abram went with them to bring them on the way." Now, we know as we look at verse 1 through 15, we know that these men are two angels, and then Yah himself is also with these two angels. And so there are scriptures that prove over and over that our nations saw Yah and lived. And but they told Moses, they said, "Hey, you can go to him and talk to him face to face from now on, you know, because we don't want to talk to him face to face anymore, or communicate with him face to face anymore, you know, lest we die." And so Yah was like, "Okay, what they have said is well." And so he started from that point communicating with Moses only face to face. But yet we see here that Yah is also communicating with Abraham face to face. And again, you can read verses 1 through 15. And you can see some things as far as the detail of that on your own time frame. Now, again, verse 16 said, "The men rose up from this and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And Yah said, 'Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him.'" All the nations are blessed because in him is where Christ came, through his lineage is where Christ came. And so verse 18 again says, "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him." And so I was like, "Yah, you know, speaking for myself personally, and then at the same time being prayerful and hopeful, and by faith believing that the church is following me as I follow Christ." So I said, "Okay, Yah, like Abraham, verse 19, you know me, and you know that I will and that I have command my children and my household after me, that they should keep the way of Yah, to do justice and judgment, that Yah may bring up on Abraham that which he has spoken of him." So there are some things that Yah has spoken over my life, just speaking personally, and you let it bear witness to you as far as you and your household is concerned. How you make your best effort to line up with the command of Yah as far as your household, your children. And we all want to keep the way of Yah. We want to do justice. We want to have just judgment, and that's just the thing that we desire as the church to do to do towards Yah. And so, looking at verse 19, I was like, "Okay, Yah, this is something that we want to do as a ministry. We desire to do. We're making our best effort to do. And you, because of this, we can attest that you reveal things to us. You don't hide your mysteries from us. You reveal things to us. And so I'm struggling right now." That's what I was saying to Yah. "So I'm struggling right now, knowing what I understand and knowing how we're making our best effort to follow your laws, statutes, and judgments. And then verse 20 says, and Yah said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming to me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from this and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before Yah. And Abraham drew near and said, will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? That's my struggle now. Because I'm like, Yah, we as a church have repented. As I mentioned to you several times, we're making our best effort to obey you and to do all the things that you revealed to us in your word. We're just making efforts to do these things. We're still learning. We're still growing, but we're making our best effort. And by the leading of your spirit, we will further learn and further grow, and in turn will do what we learn and know. And I said, but, you know, I'm looking at this, and Abraham asked this question, and it's also my question to Yah. I'm like, okay, Yah, according to 2 Chronicles 17, we have confessed and we have repented. We are seeking your face. We've turned from our wicked ways. Now, will you do your part as far as healing our land? And even from the perspective that in order for our land to be healed, we know that part of that process is the gathering of the true people of Israel back into that land. And so I'm asking y'all, I'm like, okay, how long, y'all, do we have to, as the righteous, be destroyed with the wicked? The wicked is going through things. When you look at even as far as the borders, as far as Texas is concerned, you know, I sent some information to Elden, and he said something that's very true when he texted me back, and he said, oh, this is going to backfire. And you know, they're going to pay basically a terrible price for opening up these borders, letting all these people in. You know, they think they're slick by doing it. But, you know, anytime you have the wicked who are trying to, you know, operate according to their wisdom, then everything they do is always going, the end result is going to be, you know, the backfiring, which is the judgment of Yah upon them for making the decision according to their wickedness. And so verse 24, he says, peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city, will thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? So my question was like, okay, Yah, if it's 50 of us, would you not deliver us or deliver the place, deliver us out of the hands of our enemy, although it's just 50? We've admitted, we've confessed. Would you deliver us as a nation for 50 righteous? You were willing to say Sodom and Gomorrah if there were 50 righteous within the city. Verse 25 goes on and said, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee, shall not the judge, he's saying, Yah, shall you not as the judge of all the earth do right? And so this is my struggle, because I'm like, okay, Yah, you know, me speaking personally again, and you can speak on your behalf the same way, or bear witness with me. I'm like, Yah, I'm making the best effort that I can to do right and to be righteous before you. Everything that you reveal to us, everything that I come into the understanding, you know, even when we pray before we do the lessons, I'm like, yeah, you know, when we come into understanding, bless us to put it into action. And so I'm like, okay, yeah, you know, I'm asking the same question as far as Abraham is concerned. I'm like, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So I'm asking y'all, I'm like, okay, is this right for the righteous to have to go through all these things as, you know, the same as the wicked? And we're doing that which is right. We know that you are just judge. And since we are going through these things in this country and you know, we're experiencing things that's happening to the wicked, even though we are operating as the righteous. I'm like, okay, I need your help on this right now because I'm struggling. I'm struggling today. This is a burden to me. Verse 26, and Yah said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Verse 27, and Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord Yah, which I am but dust and ashes. So I'm asking Yah, and I know I ain't nothing. I know when it really comes down to it, I'm nothing special. But yet this burden was upon me, and I had to ask my God because I needed to know. I needed an answer. And so Abraham is struggling with the same issue, so to speak. Verse 28, he says, peradventure there shall be five of the 50 righteous without destroy all the city for lack of five. And he said, if I find there are 40 in five, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure there be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. Verse 30, and he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord Yah be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there be 30. There shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto Yah, peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. Verse 32. And he said, oh, let not the Lord Yah be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way. And as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, verse 33 again, and the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. So here I am asking y'all this question based upon Genesis 18, understanding what he promised Abraham in reference to the number of righteous to the point where it got down to 10. And I was like, okay, y'all, I know we got 10, that, you know, we got at least 10, but I'm just saying for the sake of the lesson, I know we got at least 10 that is operating in righteousness. And we made our confession as far as 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 is concerned. And I need to understand what's going on here. Why are we not being delivered out of the hands of our enemy? Why is 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 not taking place if we since we have done this, and being that Sodom and Gomorrah, you're willing to save the whole city or that region for 10 righteous sake. Can you save our nation for this church? We're making our best effort. You know, I keep saying it over and over. We're making our best effort. We've confessed 2 Chronicles 17:14. We admitted the sins of our nation. We admitted that we were scattered because of the sins of our fathers, and then the sins that we continue to do that our fathers did. Okay, we confess, we repented of this here, and I need to understand what's going on. And Yah spoke. And when he spoke, it caused me to look at 2 Chronicles 7:14 like I've never looked at it before. And so when he spoke to me, he took me to 2 Chronicles 6. And I encourage you to study 2 Chronicles 6 on your own time frame, the whole chapter, and then move into chapter 7. But to study chapter 6 on your own time, and we'll understand what's truly going on by the time we get to 2 Chronicles 7:14. I'm going to start at verse 36, 2 Chronicles 6:36, for the sake of the time. And there's a lot of good things in there. I really love how Solomon prayed and the things that he said in his prayer. And there are multiple chapters where he's praying. It's just that we're able to read these things, but this whole time he's praying. And so part of his prayer, we look at verse 36, it says, "If they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not." He understood that our nation was a stiff-necked people, even during his time frame, although they followed the laws, statutes, and judgments of Yah. We just always have been a stiff-necked people. So verse 36 says, "If they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captive unto land far off or near." I'm like, okay, here we go here. You know, because we have been carried away captive unto land far off from our homeland by our enemies. And so initially, I'm looking at this and I'm like, okay, this is, he's speaking to us even now. That's how I started out thinking, but Yah is dealing with me, so I know that I have to continue to read and to study in order to come into understanding what he's really truly saying. And so verse 37, he says, "Yes, yet if they bethink themselves." Now, when you look at bethink themselves, it means to turn. It means to remember. Okay, so let me just pull up the definition here. When we look at the word be, let me see if I can get down here for now. When we look at the word bethink, it means to, it says retreat, or it says not necessarily with the ideal of return to the starting point. It says generally to retreat, often adverbial again, to do. There's a definition that I really, it says to if you look in the middle of the page, it says come again. So what it's letting us know is that when we're scattered. And if we think about what caused us to be scattered and return back to Yah, his laws, statutes, and judgments, that's what verse 37 is saying when it says bethink. Yet if they bethink themselves in the land, whether they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly. If they return to thee with all their heart, is Solomon is praying. He said, if they're in a strange land, okay, and they turn and pray unto thee, Yah, pray to you, Yah, in the land of their captivities, verse 37, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly. If they return to thee with all their heart, it's a bethink that I'm talking about, and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whether they have carried them captive, and pray towards their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou from the heaven, even from thy dwelling place, their prayers and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Verse 40. Now, my Yah, let, I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attent unto the prayers that is made in this place. Now, when we read all of 2 Chronicles, we realize that this is when the temple was built. David wanted to build it, but Yah told David that his seed would build that. So that's what 2 Chronicles 6 is referring to. That's what 2 Chronicles 6 is about. And when we read verse 40, that's what Solomon is referring to. He said, let thine eyes, the latter part of the verse, be attent unto the prayers that is made in this place. Verse 41. Now therefore arise, O Lord Yah, into thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let the priests, O Lord Yah, be clothed with salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord Yah, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David, thy servant. So when we see this, we're seeing Solomon pray here. And then when we get over into 2 Chronicles chapter 7, going to verse 14, we will start to understand some things. Now, 2 Chronicles 7, verse 1 says, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of Yah filled the house, and the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord Yah, because the glory of the Lord Yah had filled the Lord Yah's house. Verse 3, and when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord Yah upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord Yah, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord Yah. And the king and King Solomon, verse 5, offered a sacrifice of 20 and 2,000 oxen, but it's a lot of oxen, and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of Yah. Verse 6, and the priests waited on their officers. The Levites also with the instruments of music of the Lord Yah, which David the king had made to praise the Lord Yah, because his mercy endureth forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Verse 7, moreover, Solomon hallowed the middle of the court that was before the house of Yah, for there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace thereof, peace offering, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offering and the meat offerings, the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat. Verse 8. Also at the time Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great congregation, from the inner end of Hamath unto the river of Egypt. And it's a lot of people. Verse 9 says, and in the 8th day they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days, and the feast 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tents, Solomon did, glad and merry in heart for the goodness that Yah had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel, his people. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord Yah and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord Yah and in his own house, he prosperously effected. Verse 12, and Yah appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayers and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, because you're reading this in chapter 6, these are things that Solomon prayed. Okay. Verse 13, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Now, verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. This verse is not in reference to us today who are scattered. This verse is in reference to what Solomon prayed, and Yah answered Solomon according to his prayers. Thus he said, if my people are in captivity and they turn toward this land and my house where my name is and pray, then I will hear them. If they bethink me, I will hear them and forgive their sin and bring them back into their land. It happened in 2 Chronicles 17. It happened in 2 Chronicles 19. Every time our nation was scattered during this time frame because of our disobedience, when we repented as a nation, Yah always opened a door for us to come back to our land. So Yah was like, I'm not talking to y'all. I was talking to your fathers, who were already in the land. And so 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 doesn't apply to you, Lon. Now, let's see why it doesn't apply. Verse 15. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayers that is made in this place. Verse 16. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, Solomon, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land. Which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight. House no longer there. The people no longer in the land. Now, Lord, I'm talking to you. I told you folks what I would do if they disobeyed, but now you're on the reaping end of their disobedience. You don't have access to the land. You don't have access to the temple because I turned my back away from it. Because your people turned away, I also turned away. So your dilemma, and you're talking about things as far as if there be 10 righteous, will you deliver us? He said, no, there's a process you got to go through because I said some things to you concerning my word, and you can't now hold 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 up in my face and said, since you are a righteous judge, can you now deliver us? He said, understand the entire story like I taught you. So now I'm coming back and teaching the entire story from the perspective of how Yah has given an understanding of 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. This was a prayer that Solomon prayed, and Yah answered him according to as he prayed, because our nation was still in the land. And he would say, if they're taken into captivity, then I'll bring them back to the land when they repent as a people, if they pray toward this land and this house. But he goes on and he says, again in verse 19, he says, but if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them, and this house, which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and I will make it to be as a proverb and a byword among all nations. That's exactly what it is to this day. Now, as we continue to read, he says, and this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to everyone that passes by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord Yah done this unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord Yah of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshiped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. Now, what did Solomon do? The scripture said that Solomon, I believe, had 1,000 wives and concubines. And it talked about how he loved strange women. And those women caused him to start to seek after other gods. And yet when he prayed, Yah said, if you, verse 19, but if ye turn away from my statutes and my statutes and my commandment, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods. That's exactly what Solomon did. That's why the kingdom was rent from him. 10 of the tribes was given to Jeroboam, and 2 of the tribes, Judah and Benjamin, stayed with Solomon. But when you look at the wickedness as far as Solomon's son, you had righteousness, righteous son, and then you had wicked sons. And you know, throughout the history of the kings, when you go look at the book of Kings and things like that, you can see how one king would be righteous, one king would be wicked. And so when it was said and done, Yah took, I believe it was Jehoiakim, he took him, and our nation was scattered in the Babylon. Okay. Now, as we see this take place, when Babylon came into our nation, Babylon destroyed the temple, scattered our people, or took them in captivity out of our homeland. But we know during the time of Cyrus that our nation came back again and built the temple. Came back into the land and built the temple. And when our nation came back into the land and built the temple, we were there. You look at Daniel chapter 9. Explains some things that happened to us as a nation that caused us to be scattered again. And Matthew 24 talks about it. We're going to look at Matthew 23 and see when our nation was so stiff-necked that we were scattered for the last time according to our history. And so when we look at 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, we should understand it within its contextual meaning. And at the same time, we can have the revelation that there are some things that we're going to do as a nation of people. And when that take place, then there are some things that Yah has already said in his word that will happen. You know, that will cause us to be gathered back into our land. And so I want to look at Matthew 23, verse 37, to understand some things as far as our history is concerned. And while we were still in our land, what we did in reference to Christ, who came to gather us as a nation, but we rejected him. And Yah sent, you know, you can look at Matthew 10, where Yah sent Christ and the disciples to deal with the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, Matthew 23, verse 37 says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killeth the prophets. We've been seeing. So Jerusalem is not talking about the city. It's talking about us as a nation. We killed the prophets of Yah. It says, O Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are set unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chicken under her wings, and ye would not. Well, when you look at all these time frames, it's not just talking about when Christ himself is making his attempt to reach Jerusalem, but it's talking about all the incidences of the prophets and the ones that were sent to Yah, the prophets, the judges, all the people throughout our history, the godly people, Daniel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, you know, all these different prophets, Obadiah, as we look at the scripture and we see these prophets and things like that who were sent to lead our nation into righteousness. And then you had the judges that were sent to our nation in order to cause our nation to go back to the law, statutes, and judgments of Yah. And there were times when Yah, you know, sent the judges. They did repent. But we always, as a nation, went right back to that. We like that dog, man, returning to his vomit. We always return back to idolatry and all these different things, and then want to obey the law, statutes, and judgments. Okay? And so verse 37 is referring to that. Not only we rejected Christ, but we rejected everybody who was sent before him. So through understanding verse 37, we can see why we're in the position that we're in and why it's so drastic. We rejected everything that came to us in righteousness. We're still doing it to this day. We have men and women that Yah are raising up that are operating in righteousness, and they're making their best effort to lead Israel back to Yah. And Israel is this stiff-necked people who refuse to change. And so Yah said, I've always desired to gather you I've always desired to gather you as a hen gathered up chicken on her wing. I've always desired to gather you like that, but you wouldn't. Why did he say we wouldn't? Because we never wanted to continue to obey his law, statutes, and judgment. And that's why when you read Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy, and you see how Yah is making things clear to our nation in reference to how it is vital for us to obey his law, statutes, and judgment. And he was telling our nation, he said, if you do this, you'll never get sick. If you do this, no nation will ever come against you and destroy any of you. If you do this here, if you obey these laws, statutes, and judgment as my people, you will be a peculiar people. No one will be able to come close to you. People will fear you as a nation because they will know that you are my children. But when you read Deuteronomy chapter 1 with the understanding that we have now, man, it is sobering. I'm like, you know, like, Yah, I'm so burdened about it. I'm like, Yah, all we had to do was obey. But yet, even during Christ's time, Yah sent his only begotten son. As, I have to say it this way, as the final process before scattering us fully to date. He sent his son. Then he sent the disciples once the son resurrected and now on the right hand side of the Father. The disciples went out and into all the world and they preached the gospel. And so verse 37 says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophet and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not. You just wouldn't obey. So he tells them, he says, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. The same thing that Yah said to Solomon, Christ is saying to our nation during this time frame. You came back through me prophesying concerning Cyrus, would allow you to go back to rebuild your city and your temple. You went back and you did it. But now, because you refuse to obey the law, statutes, and judgments, your house is left unto you desolate. Verse 39, for I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. He said, Lord, I'm talking to y'all now. When your ancestors rebelled, I'm going to say this for lack of a better way to put it. When they rebelled to the highest degree, for the last time, y'all said, I'm going to destroy the house that you worship in, and I'm going to scatter you out of your land, and you're not going to see it again until you are able to say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, until your Messiah come back. So Yah is going to deliver us, and we know when. The only time it's going to happen is when our Messiah come back. Thus, when we get over into the next chapter, chapter 24, and Yehoshua went out, verse 1, and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Yehoshua said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be one left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Yah rejected the house again. Verse 3, and as he sat up on the mountain, Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Yahushua answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. I am anointed. I am the Messiah. And shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Yah said, learn the reason why I hadn't dealt with some things as far as gathering you as a people is because the time is not yet. The end is not yet. There's some things that must come to pass. You have to see nations rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdom. And there should be famines and pestilence and earthquake in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Lord, you just seeing the beginning of what's about to go down. It's just the beginning. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake, because you bear the name of Israel. Not because you are a Christian. He's talking to the nation of Israel when you look at who's asking the question. Now, we know, obviously, that there are going to be people who are not of the nation of Israel who are going to experience persecution too. But the central theme of this here is for us to understand what's happening as far as our nation is concerned. There are things that's happening to our nation because of Yah's name's sake. Yah's name is on us as a people. We are the chosen people of Yah. Can you imagine what it does to the wicked to know that you are someone or that you are a nation who are the apple of Yah's eye? When people ask the question, why do they hate us so much? Because of Yah's name. Because of Yah's name. Verse 10, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Well, we know that the world has a lot of hate in it, but at the same time, it is important for us to understand why we are such a dysfunctional nation of people. We hate one another. We are the only nation who does not do things to provide for its nation. A black man will hold another black man back before a black man will aid a black man in accomplishing a goal. We are the most stiff-necked, envious people of one another. We hate one another. We hate one another. Many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Y'all was like, Lon, you got to endure. There's some things that I have said in my word concerning you as a nation of people, as well as what I've said concerning the world. You have to endure. I know you're tired of living in the land of your enemies, but you got to endure. You got to go through this. Verse 14, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. I tell you the truth. The true gospel of the kingdom has not been preached throughout all the earth. The traditions of men and the doctrines of devils have been preached throughout all the world for a witness unto all nations. But the true message of the kingdom, the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, have not been preached throughout all the world for a witness unto all nations. What I mean by that is it has not been preached. It has not been preached precept upon precept, line upon line. It has not been preached by the leading of the Spirit of Yah. It has been preached, but again, from the minds of men, the wisdom of men, and also from a perspective of the wickedness of men. So the gospel of the kingdom has not been preached because, according to the scripture, when it is preached throughout all the world for a witness unto all nations, then the end shall come. So we need to get busy. All right. Now we know we've dealt with verse 15 in reference to the book of Daniel, but I'm not going to go through the rest of those scriptures because we've dealt with it at different times, and I'm not led to do that at this point. But now, when we look at 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, we apply it within its contextual meaning, and we don't just make that confession in reference to us today, just saying that we can all come together and repent. Well, the scripture clearly points out that when Christ returns, we not going to all have repented. So 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, not talking to you, Lon. When Christ returned, he will rule nations with a rod of iron. Israel is going to be made to pass under the rod of the covenant, the law, statutes, and judgment, because we as a nation as a whole will not ever entirely walk under the law, statutes, and judgment as a people until our Messiah return and make us go under the rod of the covenant and get the rebellion out of Israel. So he said to me, be patient. And I'm saying to you on tonight, be patient. Understand 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, within its contextual meaning and what the purpose for what it was written. And let's don't snatch that verse out anymore. I used to do it all the time. Snatch that verse out anymore and just say, we can just repent and turn my wicked way. Y'all gonna hear it, hear from heaven and heal our land. He did. But he also said in Matthew 23, your house is desolate. He said in Matthew 24, not one stone is gonna be standing on another. So our land is in chaos right now. So we can't turn to the land. I'm just being honest, y'all. You know, some of you may know, but I went to y'all and I was like, shoot, I don't even know which direction Israel is turning to pray that way. That's just me. You know, some of you may know, and that's fine. But at this particular time, I was like, heck, I don't know which direction to turn and pray, no how. And then if I did, there ain't no temple there. Second Chronicles 7:14, not talking to me. Y'all not going to heal that land because I turn that way and pray. Christ going to heal that land when he returns. And his people. What I mean by Christ, I'm talking about Yah. Okay. Yah is going to heal the land. Christ is going to be there. So I wanted you to see that and to understand 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 in its proper order and to look at it now with an understanding. And again, I encourage you to study 2 Chronicles 6 on your own time frame. You can even go back to chapter 2 Chronicles 5, you know, just 5, 6, and 7. And then just remember all the things that was prayed and how y'all answered and y'all made it clear that, hey, if you don't obey my law, statutes, and judgment, I'm going to turn my back on you. And that's what he did. And although we are experiencing some things individually, there are some things that still must take place with us as a nation as a whole. And in that part of the salvation of our nation, we have to be patient. We have to endure to the end. And so that's how y'all answered me from the burden and the question that I had in reference to 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. All right. Any questions, comments? All righty. I'll go ahead and pray and close. Father Yah, we just bless your name on tonight. And we thank you for teaching us your word and bringing us into even a better understanding of what you meant by 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. We do know that we have to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways. And we know that you will heal us as a nation as we do so. But there are certain things that we must endure in order to allow your word to come to pass fully. And in that part, we patiently wait in our righteousness. And we glorify you for that, Yah. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.